don't control other people. But you guys have got into this rhythm where you're trying to control each other. You're trying to get the other person to do something all the time. And then when you get tired, you quit trying, which sends a message, I don't care about you.
Do you feel powerful or powerless in your most valuable relationships? How do you recover from adultery and avoid bitterness and unforgiveness? If you or someone you love is facing similar challenges, you'll want to listen to this session with author and relationship expert Danny Silk and co-hosts Jared and Aaron Cullop. Every week on the Loving on Purpose podcast, you'll be listening to Danny sitting one-on-one with real people, going through real challenges, helping them toward real solutions. And afterwards, you'll hear the team's helpful insights. Now let's listen in as Danny explores a recurring cycle of anxiety with young couples Shauna and Brian in part one of this podcast.
Shauna?
Mm-hmm.
And Brian?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for coming in. You know, it's kind of gutsy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what led you to say yes to this?
I want hope again.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, we've been working on just trying to get healing for a long time and just sort of really want to spearhead it. And we've done a lot of stuff, but still feel like there's a long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so any opportunity really that we have, we take because we're just desperate. We want to be whole and be able to be a good representation to our kids of what it is to be a good marriage and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, thank you for coming in. Thank you for, you know, just giving us some time, you know, with, I'll do everything I know to do to be helpful. And I'm only going to really cover what you guys want to talk about. And I'll do what I do, which is try to give some hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys have been married for how long?
Just under 4 years.
And there was an adultery situation in there early on.
Right.
And as a result, you guys have been kind of spinning since.
Okay. Yep.
Kind of just feel like putting one Band-Aid on after another.
Okay.
You know, when it gets to the point where it hurts too bad, you know, we'll go in counseling again and, you know, mm-hmm. we feel like we gain a little bit of ground, but then it still feels like we just argue about the same stuff. And
What are you arguing about?
Intimacy, you know, being able to connect, wanting to connect, and it's just awkward.
So describe to me, we want to connect over, we want to connect, but we're having problems. What does that look like? He wants, I want, it's
sex.
Different.
Intimacy.
Intimacy means what?
Like, I want to just feel like we're connected, you know, emotionally, and, you know, there's no distractions, there's no phones or kids or whatever. Like, I want to feel like I get 100% of attention. You know, it doesn't have to be all day, every day. You know, that's...
Mm-hmm.
That's not it, but...
Are you a quality time love language person?
Quality time, I think touch, and we got words of affirmation too, which sure. I didn't think, because I'm definitely the quiet one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't...
Well, it means you need words of affirmation.
Well, yeah, but still, I wouldn't think that that'd be a love language. I don't know, for
well, it means that you like to be enjoyed. It means that you want to be liked. Does that sound true?
Yeah.
Someone to show interest in what's interesting to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are talking about your day or talking about the kids or showing Brian, you know, something, a new hobby of yours or whatever, that he shows up with interest. So him being interested in you, liking you, and enjoying you. Does that sound like love?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think... I need that.
Okay. And Brian, how hard is it for you to do that?
I think it's difficult at times. It just depends. You know, it's if I feel like it's safe for me to do that without being rejected. Because, you know, a big thing that we've gone through is because most of our marriage, we've been in fight or flight mode. We haven't really... Because of the infidelity in the beginning of the relationship, we haven't had a lot of actual feeling safe. And so I felt like my needs sexually and just emotionally have not been met because Shauna's pain. And so I don't feel safe a lot of times to try to pursue intimacy. So it's like I try to, I make an attempt, and I know if Shauna says, hey, I need this from you, I'll try to provide that. But, you know, sometimes when she comes up to me and wants to hug and be intimate, I'm like, I don't want to do that because I don't feel safe.
It feels like that most of the time.
Yeah, so I just don't feel safe. And so we both are in this thing of not feeling safe. Mm-hmm. But I attempt to do that. I attempt to, like, do things for her, surprise her, or, you know, things like that to try to make her feel loved.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear how she feels loved?
With touch and quality time 100% and focusing on the things that she wants to have me like about her and new ideas and the things she wants to be doing.
Mm-hmm. So being enjoyed, being liked, being desired, that feels like love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so affection probably gets in there.
Mm-hmm.
And encouragement and interest. You know, probably those three things, you know, so affection, interest, and encouragement would be. Is that something that you don't want her to have at some point in time?
No.
Is that something you want her to have all the time?
Yeah.
Is there any reason that you would say, I am justified in not giving those things to you?
No.
Okay. I'm just checking.
It doesn't seem like I don't feel that way sometimes.
I didn't ask you that part. I asked you, is it ever your goal to not give her those things?
No.
Okay. So that's in your heart to supply her with things that would feel like love to her.
Right.
Okay, good. And what feels like love to you? I mean, what's your love language? Let's talk about that for a minute.
I think my love language definitely is touch and probably words of affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important that I'm encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
So how that looks like normally is I want to be sexually intimate with her. I want to have sex with her. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel that she loves me and that we feel connected. That's how I feel connected to her.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously words of affirmation as well. And a big thing for me is feeling like when I'm in need or when I do have a need that has nothing to do with sex, that I feel that Shauna understands and is trying to meet that need.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are my needs.
Mm-hmm. So, is there some at some point that you think that you don't think he should feel sexually connected to you or enjoyed by you? Is it ever your goal to withhold your message that you enjoy him physically and emotionally?
No, it's never my goal.
Never your goal. Okay. All right. So just, you know, I just want you guys to hear each other here that, you know, you actually both have very similar goals. We should be having a really great time.
Yeah, right. That's why we're here.
We should be having the time of our lives because we both want to enjoy each other and we both want to be enjoyed by each other.
Right.
You know, which makes it way easier to do because it's sometimes not that important to one of them. You know, I don't care if you enjoy me. I want stuff done. You know, and that's a struggle. But so you guys are, you know, you got some really positive strengths going already just in this conversation. And that is, okay, so we have this desire to enjoy each other. Help me understand what's breaking that down.
Well, my past, I was very promiscuous. We grew up together in the same town. So my history has been just not caring for women and being very selfish in my pursuits and stuff like that. So after we got married, then cheating on her right after that, it's like, you know, Shauna doesn't feel like I really care or that it's safe. So at the beginning of that infidelity, there's a lot of anger and bitterness that has continued through our marriage. And not saying it's her fault. It's obviously the situation that allowed that to happen. It's both of us. But in that, I've become bitter because I'm like, man, I feel like she doesn't desire me and stuff like that. So we have this thing of like we're angry and bitter towards each other because it hurts too much to give the other person what they need. Mm-hmm. Because if I give that, if I try, I'm going to get hurt. If she tries, she's going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Shana, what do you think it is? Or what do you think's going on here?
Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of it is I just don't feel fully desired. You know, like you said, with quality time, you know, if I don't get that attention, you know, and already, you know, we have two kids, and so I'm pulled and pushed all day long, and then, you know, I'm expected at the end of the night or whenever we get our time, it's like I don't feel filled. I don't feel like I'm getting anything back. I feel like all day I just give. And so I guess, you know, my goal is not to keep it from him, but, you know, it's just what happens because I just don't feel like I can give anything.
Mm-hmm. And a big thing, like she said, she doesn't have a desire. I mean, so in the very beginning, before the infidelity, there was a desire for a sexual intimacy. Mm-hmm. But then after that, for most of our marriage, there's just not a desire there. And so even, and there is sometimes, but even when I am doing what it is that fulfills her, the desire is still not there. And so it's a big struggle for us that she feels like she needs to do it out of obligation because it's what I need. But even when she is getting those needs met, there's still not that desire there.
Mm-hmm. So what do you guys enjoy about each other besides sex?
He brings me out of my box. I mean, I'm definitely the quiet one. And, you know, in the past, it's, you know, if we're in a group of people, you know, it's because of him that I'm talking to people usually. And mm-hmm. Just, you know, he encourages me to stand up and, you know, he makes me laugh and, mm-hmm. I mean, we have fun together. We get along. That's important, right?
It's helpful. It's super
helpful. Most of the time.
Yeah. Okay. So you enjoy his company because he's kind of a catalyst, social catalyst.
Yes. Or but that's also what I don't enjoy at times.
So he's kind of somebody that challenges you to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So besides sex, what do you enjoy with this lady?
Yeah, I love that we're just really good friends. We've always been able to spend all day together for the most part, and we enjoy each other. So, you know, just being able to connect with her and laugh with her. We have a similar sense of humor, so we can tell jokes and just
most
have fun.
Time.
Most of the time. Going out, being outdoors, enjoying the outdoors. We enjoy the same types of things. We like to go and have wine or like to go travel. We like to do a lot of the same stuff. She loves the outdoors. I love the outdoors. We have the same value for family and our children and just being active. Mm-hmm. We both enjoy being healthy. So there's a lot of things that we both enjoy doing.
Uh-huh.
And I really like that she is self-motivated and that she's an achiever because that's how I am. I see that and I value that.
Uh-huh.
And so she loves to experience and do new things.
Okay, good, good. Let me ask you, do you feel powerful?
No.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
Well, that would be good to figure out because if you spend your life feeling powerless, then that means that you are a victim. And if you're a victim, there's an excellent chance that you spend a lot of time blaming something outside of yourself for being powerful. And so if you're a victim of what happened 4 years ago or however long that happened, if you're still living in that, then it won't be very difficult at all for you to blame him for how you're behaving. Does that sound true?
Probably. But how do I get past it?
Well, you have to shift what you believe to be true about who you are and who governs you. Because if it's his job to govern you, then he's kind of on the hamster wheel of your emotions. And he kind of lives in this place where he's trying to earn something that he wants. So there's this carrot out there, and he's on the hamster wheel. And you're like, well, you didn't try hard enough today. You didn't make me happy, therefore. And that's not his job to make you happy. It's your job to make you happy. What do you think about that?
I think you're probably right.
See, the belief that you're powerless removes responsibility from how you behave in a relationship. And he's the bad guy. If you're the victim, he's the bad guy. And he's not having any fun being the bad guy in your life. And you're not having any fun being the victim in his life. So this changes as soon as you take responsibility for you and you take responsibility for you, because you also end up feeling like a victim and she's the bad guy. And I don't know who you talk to. I don't know who the rescuers are in your world, but somebody's going to come in and try to be the good guy because they listen to you talk about how you feel like a victim to, you know, how she's treating you, and then you feel justified in how you behave because she's the reason you're behaving that way. So when she comes up and wants a hug and you're like, I'm not giving you a hug back because you didn't give me sex. You're like, oh, wait a second. See, she is never why you're behaving the way you are. You are the reason you're behaving the way you are. You are never... He is never the reason you're behaving the way you are. You've decided to behave that way. So you can't control each other. You've tried. That's really helpful. You've tried to control each other. It doesn't work. Because if you could control her, you'd be having sex all day long. Yeah? How's that working?
It's not well.
It's not working. No, see, because you can't control her. We don't control other people. So, but you guys have got into this rhythm where you're trying to control each other. You're trying to get the other person to do something all the time. And then when you get tired, you quit trying, which sends a message, I don't care about you. I'm giving up. I'm not trying. And then as soon as you got some energy back, you're like, Okay, I'm going to try to get you to be happy. I'm going to try to get what I want by doing this thing that you want. Like, okay, that means that you are trying to control what you don't control and you feel out of control. And you're trying to control what you don't control and you feel out of control. So your anxiety is through the roof because you feel out of control. You know, if the steering wheel came off of your car, how would you feel? Terrified.
Right.
Well, when you live like that, because you're trying to control what you don't control, it makes love and the experience of love impossible. Fear and love are enemies. So what you want to do is you want to control what you do control, which is you.
Now let's join Danny Silk and Jared and Aaron Cullop in the studio for helpful insights and tips on the session we just heard.
Okay, well, just like in your Keep Your Love On book, Danny, you kind of go at a foundation with the love languages, Gary Chapman's book, the Five Love Languages, but In the last two episodes, if somebody listened, they would see that you used them to reduce anxiety, which is more of what you talk about in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But like the ninja you are, I think you used them for a different reason here, right? I mean, the result, it wasn't about dispelling anxiety.
That's true.
What were you doing?
I was just trying to help these guys see how much they have going for them, you know, and that they both really need the same things, and they actually both want to supply the same thing, you know, what they need. So I'm trying to give them hope. I'm mm-hmm. trying to, you know, that was one of their goals for our time together, was to leave with hope.
Right.
And so I could see that, you know, the potential for a lot of anxiety in this conversation was coming. So really what we need to do is we need to get hope on the surface and get them looking at that. And, you know, she only used one tissue, and it was early on.
You read my mind. I mean, I was going to say, she actually came in and says, I need some tissue. Before we could start on this, you know, I need some tissue. And I wasn't even aware that she even used one. You know, you just injected hope there at the very beginning by pointing out, hey, you know what? You've got quality time and touch as your two, and he's got touch and words of affirmation. That's a great combination for we enjoy life together and enjoy each other. And then you just were blunt and said, so where's this breaking down?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and so strong, too, in their marriage was the fact that they hung in there when they had a big catastrophe happen in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they both hung in there. They both got back in the game. And it's, you know, that's so much hope in itself. It's ironic that it was lost.
Yeah, and I was trying to get them to, you know, focus on what they do enjoy about each other. What do they enjoy doing? What is it that they are building this relationship on that is keeping them in it? And, you know, people forget that stuff. You start hurting, you get disconnected, and you forget all the good stuff. I don't mm-hmm. know why it's so easy, but you just thought, I never should have married this person. Went from the beginning, my mother tried, the Holy Spirit tried to tell me not to do, you know, it's just like, who is talking to me? Well, it's not your helper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, obviously this one, we had the sex word a good bit throughout this this episode, and when you were with them, and he even just here at the beginning points out, you know, well, she's known me my whole life. We grew up together. Yeah. I've been promiscuous. I got married. I cheated on her right after we got married, but now I'm trying to do it right. And the last episode, it was even pointed out by the last podcast about don't define yourself by your past,
yeah.
but by your future. It's like they both want to be together. They both want to be intimate, but if one person is into it, the other one feels like this weird, fake, powerful move of rejecting or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think it's awesome how you shifted the focus on what else they loved about each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
it seemed like sex for both of them really represented, I accept you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're accepted, I feel accepted, because there's that big rejection. I feel rejected when you don't, or I feel rejected when you did.
Yeah. Yeah, so the primary focus really was on, you know, how are we going to move forward, and you have to have something that you desire that you're willing to sacrifice to go get.
Mm.
And so, you know, it's again, you're going to need courage. You're going to need something that's going to lead you into what has been so scary. And I think they found that.
Yeah, so I totally do too. So we are going to just let Aaron ask you a question that we've had come in on Facebook.
Okay.
You've most likely read it because you read all your Facebook stuff. But here on the air, it's a really good one.
How do you manage yourself and your love if you feel that someone is being controlling?
You know, nobody wants to be controlled.
No.
You know, everybody. That's just a guaranteed anxiety producer, is I feel controlled. You can only be controlled if you believe that you can be controlled, you know? So, you know, you can treat me like you want me to fly, and I can say, of course you do, but I can't, I'm not going to. And if I believe that about control as well, like, you're trying to control me, as long as I know I can control myself, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter how you act, then my anxiety actually goes down. And I don't have to act like I'm, you know, tied up and trying to get loose. It's like, all right, I focus on what I'm going to do, no matter what this person's words are, behavior is, threats are.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And that's how I manage myself in the relationship with a controlling person.
Thanks for listening to the Loving on Purpose podcast, now available on iTunes and at lovingonpurpose.com, where you can also find other books and resources in addition to information about Danny's new Keep Your Love On conferences coming to a city near you. Danny loves to hear from his listeners and readers, so be sure to connect on Twitter and Facebook at Danny Lee Silk. Join us next week for part two of this podcast. The Loving on Purpose podcast is recorded at Bethel Media Studios in Redding, California by senior producer David Neronha, audio supervisor Chris Pacilio, and audio engineers J.M. Friedemaker and Amy Ajimini. Theme song by Bethel Music.
And remember, everybody, keep your love on.